Took a hit right up and feel. Now I got to just know how to flip it when I feel. Different when you listen to yourself. Not forgetting but forgiving. How you living is the wisdom in itself. Getting help. My intention and my callus never been in balance. It's a challenge when your talent come equipped with damage. Getting callous to what matters and you miss the pattern.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to In the Database with Nana. I know it's been a while, a long time. Just a lot has been going on in my personal life and obviously with the Golden State Warriors, but we've got a lot to get through this. We're halfway through the season, a little bit more than halfway through the season, and so much has happened and so much needs to be addressed. And we're just going to get right into it. What a season. I mean, for all the wrong reasons, but what a season. This season, to me, has been very depressing. And I know a lot of people be like, oh, you haven't been a Warrior fan for so long. We've been through the whatever. We're in the middle of a dynasty, okay? We've got Steph still in his prime. I'm allowed to be depressed. I'm allowed to be mad, disappointed with a team full of one of the best players in the league is on your roster and we're the 12th seed. So miss me with all that. We've been bad before. I don't care. Here we are with the early season issues. By the way, I want to make this clear. I wasn't somebody that was too much of a fan of what GSW did in the offseason. And a lot of people were like, oh, you're being dramatic. You're doing too much. Give this guy a chance. Mike just been on the job. And I said, nah, first, I don't care. To me, the trades he did in the offseason, horrible. I mean, I was not a fan of the CP3 trade. I didn't think it improved us at all. It did anything. All it did is just remove Jordan Poole from the team. And I think it was more of a dump off, to be honest. And yes, I understand because of what happened between Draymond Green and because of Draymond Green's issues, Jordan Poole's not with us. And a lot of the people will get on me like, oh, you always get on Draymond. You always get on Draymond. And for good reason. Okay. To me, I'm not going to come here and tell you Draymond is a shitty basketball player. I'm not going to tell you Draymond cannot be a 16-game player, cannot be part of a championship team, cannot be great, because that would be a lie. That would be me just hating. My issues with Draymond is everything not to do with basketball. And he proved that over and over and over and over again this season. And when finally people are like, oh, okay, yeah, Dre's a problem. He's useless. He's hurting the team. His actions. I've been saying this for years. He just kept getting worse because his leash kept getting tighter and people just kept letting him get away with it. Let me tell you something about society. We as a society in general, if we're not held to rules and there's no consequence, there is no need or no purpose for us to ever follow directions or follow anything. We wouldn't be a civilization. We would just do whatever it is that we wanted to do because we will never be held accountable. And that is Golden State Warriors organization and Draymond Green's relationship. If we suspended him when he punched Jordan Poole and he missed the ring ceremony, that would have been big enough then instead of giving him a paid vacation not to show up to practice as punishment and then get rid of the one guy he didn't want there. You're just rewarding him. That is not okay. Under no circumstance is that okay. You're not showing anything. And it's part of these struggles. When the season started, I already knew that he knew he was untouchable. He was basically Telfon. He could do what he wants. He can walk around and do what he wants. And that's what he did. That's exactly what he did. He walked into the season. He choked somebody. Got a chance to, you know, be responsible and not do anything dumb again. Proceeded to come out and just hit somebody in the face. And I know people are like, oh, you know, he wasn't doing it on purpose. Oh, miss me with that. I mean, he was collecting technical fouls, flagrant fouls, left to right, being ejected of the game. He was just out of control. And he was losing it. And to me, that hurt the team so much because we never had consistency. Our foundation was ruined. Draymond's part of the foundation. Dre, Clay, Steph. That is your core. That's your foundation. If those guys are not consistently part of the game or not part of the team or not producing, we have problems everywhere because we are building this team, this quote unquote championship team, on them. And if they're not available, if they're not producing, it's useless. And with Clay early in the season, he's not producing. And then you got Draymond Green, who's just not available. You're down two out of your three guys. And now you've got a rotation where you've got a coach who I believe should not be the coach. I made that statement very clear that he should be gone. And he should not. I think he's lost his touch. I think he's not the same guy he used to be. The locker room doesn't respect him. And I know you're probably wondering, what do you mean the locker room? I mean, if Dre respected his coach, he wouldn't be acting like this. I mean, Klay wouldn't be jacking up shots anytime he felt like it. Even when, you know, this is not the same Klay, you know, he would shoot himself out of a slump. No, I'm talking about just playing. They're not playing defense. They're not playing inspiring basketball. They just look weak and pathetic. And teams would just come in every day and do whatever they want against them. Defensively, you could tell a team's heart and what kind of team they are on the defensive side of the ball. And our identity was very clear from the beginning. And that is coaching. And, you know, if you can't get a coach to get through these players, you don't got a coach that's respected. And that's the bottom line. And I think his rotation with the guys around him, with development, he screwed all that up. And honestly, Dre's issues, I don't know if that had an impact in Wiggins this season. But to start the season, Andrew Wiggins, I mean, all the way to the last maybe five games of this season, to start the season, he has been horrendous. He has been terrible. I mean, on both sides of the ball, on the defensive side and on the offensive side, almost as if like he fell off a cliff. We're talking about the guy who's probably the second best player in the NBA Finals just 2 years ago. How? Like, how do you fall off that hard? And it was like no issues. I mean, there's nothing we are aware of that, like, you know, that's in between. And I get he had personal issues and he had an injury, but not anything substantial enough to make him look the way he looks right now. And to me, what I would point that back out to is Draymond Green and Draymond Green's issues. I mean, it affected the team as a whole. And we couldn't figure out early in the season where you're supposed to figure out your lineups, where you're supposed to figure out who you want to keep on the team, where you're supposed to figure out what rotation you want. Like I said, should not pass 15 games in the season, maybe 20. 20 is pushing it. After 20, you should have a set rotation of guys you know are going to play in some consistency. And we didn't. We still don't have that right now. In fact, I think the last four games is a huge change. I mean, we'll talk about down the line with Jonathan Kuminga, is that really might be the set lineup. But that's what, game 44, game 45? Would it be in game 46? I've lost count. Somewhere in the late 40s. And that all has to do with Steve Kerr and his inability to adjust and inability to use every season like he has a 2017 Golden State Warrior roster. He's treating the roster in the regular season like we are a super team. And speaking of the roster, let's talk about Moody. Moody is a guy that I really believe was so NBA ready as a rookie. Come in, shoot the three, play good defense, get you a solid 16 to 20 minutes. And he can barely find consistent minutes because somehow, some way, Steve Kerr can't find a friend. But you know what? You know who can find consistent minutes? Corey Joseph. And what does Corey Joseph even do? What does he do on the court? What does he do? Every time I see him on the court, instantly turn the TV off. Like, I already know that I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to just go on Twitter, just see everybody else's reaction, figure out what's going on. Because why is this man on the court? You have Moody on the bench. You have Kuminga writing a bunch of DMPs and riding the bench, and you have Kojo consistently getting minutes. Just logically didn't make sense. And even when guys were struggling to get their shots, when guys were struggling to find some reason to keep going this season, you know, Klay's had it, Steph has had it. You didn't see a change in coaching. You didn't see some philosophy change. You didn't see something to help these guys get back to the mood and who they were. And a lot of that has to do with just they've been in a season where they've just been so inconsistent all season long. The whole season has just come down on them all at once. And then you've got the injuries and the suspension. You know, people are getting sick and tired of everything and the lack of adjustments, the lack of what's crazy is that Steve would come to the post-game conference and say the same political BS. And you look at him, you're like, because as a fan, as somebody who watches the game, as people who spend hours just analyzing Golden State, you already know what Steve Kerr is going to say at the post-game conference. As a matter of fact, I think I've created a bingo card where I can put each of Steve Kerr's statements and get a bingo every time at the post-game conference after every loss, because the man is the most repetitive human being and the most predictable coach the league has ever seen. He's so predictable. And when people say, why do people shoot so well against Golden State? Why do they come in and suddenly guys who had zero threes the last five games, had five out of five tonight. What do you mean why? What do you mean why? Because it's so predictable. His offense is predictable. His defense is predictable. You watch one film, you know what to do when you come play Golden State Warriors. It's that damn simple. You don't even have a center. I mean, you do have one, which I do want you to trace, which Steve Kerr doesn't like for some odd reason, doesn't want to play him. And Looney, it hurts me to say this, but Kevon Looney was a guy that really, really did a lot for Golden State. And when I say this, I mean, like, we aren't champions without Kevon Looney. Kevon Looney did all the dirty work, all the hustle and everything. And, you know, he put so much hard. He even took a pay cut. He's done so much for Golden State. So it really does pain me to say this. He just doesn't have it anymore. Kevon Looney cannot be the kind of guy who plays more than 10 minutes a game at this point, because he just can't. And I don't know if the hips are catching up with the early injuries. I don't know what it is, but it just seems like we need to find a center who, by the way, Draymond cannot be the 82-game center. Maybe we can get away with a 16-game Draymond center. And for those of you that don't know, when I say 16-game, I'm talking about playoffs, and 82, I'm talking about regular season. But, yeah, Dre can play that position in the postseason, and that can work. But in the regular season, to take that stress out of Draymond so he doesn't get hurt, he doesn't get as agitated, because – you're asking too much. You're asking him to play great defense and play center position. That's actually crazy. You need to give Loon a break, and because he cannot be on the court. Yes, we get it. He's under 28, but he ran his minutes. He ran his minutes too much, and him playing every single game of the season, that's not a good thing anymore. And I say that because I don't think he is actually hurting him, and it's hurting Draymond to do all this extra work when he doesn't really have to, when you got a guy like Trace develop him. And people be like, do you think you know better than Steve Kerr? Let me say this with a clear face. Yes. Yes, I know better than Steve Kerr, because the whole world saw Kuminga be great. Yes, the whole world saw Kuminga, who he was in the preseason, and we're in game 46, and he finally realized, you know what? Maybe Kuminga is great. He is great. Maybe he is something. Come on. Like, come on. Are you serious? Like, are we really baffled here? Like, we're looking at a guy who we know could be great, and you're saying this coach, you don't know better than this coach, because, you know, just because he's Steve Kerr and he's got a million championships, he knows better. No, there's a reason Michael Jordan slapped this man in the face. He's very annoying. He's very stubborn, and even the greats of the greats just do crackhead behaviors, and this is one of them. And so when I say these things, I want to point something out very clearly. In order for Jonathan Kuminga to get playing minutes, consistent playing minutes, this man did something no NBA player in the history of the game has ever done. Like, ever. This man in the middle of the night called up one of the best NBA writers, Shamp, and said, hello. Yeah, I don't want to be requesting a trade, but I would like you to tell that man to play me. What do you mean? Jonathan Kuminga, you don't want to trade? No, I don't want to trade. I just want that stubborn white man, that white man on the bench who y'all call a Hall of Fame coach, to play me, because I'm like that. And he out here putting Corey Joseph on the court while I'm sitting on the bench getting DMPs. That's all I want. Kuminga, you know I'm shammed, right? I just cannot, you know, post the story. I'm telling you, Shams, post it. And by the way, also when you post it, make sure you tell him, I don't want to be traded. I just love being in the city. But let Steve Kerr know what the whole world can see is that I'm like that. Do you understand how crazy that is? The man called up Shams in the middle of the night to post an article about getting playing minutes. And guess what? It worked. He got playing minutes right afterwards. And to be honest, Jonathan Kuminga would not have had these minutes had he not done that. Do you know how crazy that is? Like, this man would not have had his third year leap. He would not be the man he's now. People can't even stop him from going over 20 points. And he's getting it so easily and so efficient. What's crazy is that he bullied Steve Kerr into starting him, and now he's bullying the league. And there's nothing they could do about it. And I was like, ooh, wait a minute. We can't just go get Jonathan Kuminga for throw in. Now you have to actually look at this guy as the second best player on the team. After Steph Curry, he's the second best player on the team. Think about that. This guy was getting DMPs to start the season. This guy was in and out of the rotation 40 games into the season. Like, you didn't know when he was going to come in. You didn't know if he was going to come in. Now he's a starter. He's a starter and the second best player on the team. And to me, a lot of that to me has a lot to do with CP3 getting hurt. And I'm not saying that his injury is something to laugh about, but when I just want to point out the irony, when CP3 was brought here, one of the main selling points is he was going to be important to Kuminga's development. That PNR with Kuminga, oh, that's going to be great. But guess what? The man CP3 came in the court and said, Dario, where are you on the court? I'm just going to keep throwing this ball. I'm going to force it to Dario every five. He slowed the whole game down and just never looked Kuminga's way. It's like he has this flirt. It's like he was just flirting with Dario all game long. And I'm like, why do you keep doing that? What is your problem? Like, what is CP3's purpose? And now that's why I'm saying he doesn't fit this team. Nothing about CP3's playing style is Steve Kerr's system. And yet he uses him in the same system that it will not work in. If you're going to use CP3 and you're going to put him part of this team, you might as well change your playbook. If you're not going to change your playbook, you're just battling each other. We're just CP3 and style and Steve Kerr's style just butting heads. And now they're a complete different team without him on the court. You can just see it. They look different. Like, the pace is better. We don't have to slow the game too much down. We're a better transition team. We're, like, you also see Pods. Shout out to the rookie. Shout out to him making the All-Stars Rookie Rising Challenge. Because who would have thought? Who would have thought? And he's just a hustler. That guy has heart. Like, you got to give credit where credit is due. He just come in there day in, day out. Just does what he needs to do to win. And what's crazy is that for some odd reason, Steve Kerr has allowed him to play through his mistakes, a luxury he never gave Moody or Jonathan Kuminga. That has to be pointed out. A luxury he's never given to both of our lottery picks. Now, that's a question you have to ask him directly, because Paz has made some significant mistakes, a lot. Throughout games and some of them, and it allowed him to be the player he is today. It allowed him to develop and be a much better player than he is today. Look at the playmaker he is right now. Look at the hustler he is right now. Look at the rebounder he is right now. All of that, all those things allow you to work, because when you're a rookie and you play through your mistakes and you're allowed and you're given this grade, because by the way, you're a rookie. You're the bottom of the food chain. You have to learn this. The game is different for you. And so for a coach to expect you not to make mistakes, to not to do that, it's crazy. And Jonathan Kuminga and Moody never got that same, I don't even know the word, the same chance. And the crazy thing is, Jonathan has improved so much in so many aspects of the game. Earlier in this season, his decision making was very shaky. Like, sometimes he would try to go up on the double team, try to do too much, and now he realizes he's got Steph Curry on the court. If you're doubling me, that means you're not doubling Steph. That means if Steph is not doubled, good night. Do you know how much that takes for a young player to learn? Because early in the season, especially in his rookie season, in the second year, whenever Jonathan would make a mistake, Steve would just yank him out. And I'm not just talking about yanking out for the rest of the game. You wouldn't see him for three, four games. One mistake. And I used to wonder, like, what is it? What is it? Why? And you can make your own theories. I have mine, but I ain't gonna share it on here, but I have mine. And it pissed me off to say this, because what I wanted, Brent, and I'm so happy because Paz is doing so good for the team that this was allowed for him, but that same courtesy should have been allowed for both the other guys. And I don't know why he didn't do it. I don't know why you didn't even just development, like, not saying Wiseman would have been anything or any better than, I mean, I clearly think Wiseman was just a bust, but he also wasn't put in a great position to develop and was never really given a chance. So we can't live in the what ifs right now, but we can only live in with the current and the present. And that's this team's improvement, how they look so much better. And majority of the reason they look so much better is, like, only thing that really changed, one guy,
Jonathan Kuminga allowed. And CP3 should be coming back from his injury soon. And I would like to see how much backwards Steve Kerr goes. I want to see how much backwards Kuminga really goes. Because I had zero hope in this guy, Steve Kerr, that he would do the right thing or he would adjust better. And I don't even think CP3 should be on this roster past trade deadline. But, oh, here we are. Here we are. It's a team we're probably going to say, you know, we've won a couple of games in a row. Let's just give it all with this roster. No, sir. You're the 12th seed. Give it all to what? What are you gonna, you're not a young team. You don't have a star who's in his 20s where you can just waste years when you want to waste a year. You've got a 36, soon to be 36-year-old star in his prime. You have to utilize it. You have to get into the top six seed. You have to give your star a chance. You have to. You cannot just throw seasons the way you've done it before. And I think 2022 bailed you out because he did. And I think after that, you just became satisfied. And now you're just sitting, let's just look for another way out. No, it doesn't work like that. Go out and get some improvements. Go change some roles. And I think, you know, it start with the coaching. But I don't know. He is a free – Steve Kerr does have a contract that's due soon. And I don't know. Can you do something with this guy? Can we actually get a number two score? I mean, everybody in the NBA. This is another thing about Steph Curry this year. They'd be like, oh, Steph has had a bad month. That's why he shouldn't have been an all-star starter. Miss me with all that crap. You got a free throw merchant in the starting lineup. Nobody wants to see SGA in the all-star games. I promise you. Like, we're not intrigued with the guy who likes to grift and graft all day long. We're not intrigued. But all-star is about entertainment. And the most entertaining player in the NBA was not given a starting position for political reasons because the media thought he was the fourth best guard in the league. So please, miss me with all that. Okay, I'm not interested in the guy who models for Skims on his free time. I'm not interested in that. Or on the court to twerk for free throws. No. Please, argue with your mama over there. We're in here for the All-Star, and unless SGA gets guarded like Steph Curry, unless he's pulling 3-4 guys every night, unless he's running around the court doing a million sprints like he's Usain Bolt and he's doing long distance running all day long just to get a shot off and still manage to average 27 points a game, don't talk to me. There's nobody better than this guy. And he should have been the All-Star because he's the only guy that doesn't even have a second star, who doesn't have a second player. Every top player in the league has another top 20 player on their roster. Steph Curry didn't even have a top 50 player on his roster, top 60 player after him. That's crazy. That's actually crazy. You're telling me he's got to go back. And by the way, he's not 6'8, 6'9. That would be okay because people always like to compare him to LeBron. Well, welcome to LeBron's world. That's the thing about LeBron fans that pissed me the fuck off. If you're so secure that LeBron James is miles ahead of Steph Curry, why do you insist on always comparing them? Why do you always insist on coming back and saying, well, LeBron had to, well, are LeBron and Steph the same level according to you then? Why do you hold them to the same standard? Why do you hold a 6'3" guy, 180 pounds, to the same standard to a 6'8", 6'9" guy? Freak of athlete, freak with a freak body and German doctors. Why do you think it's okay to compare the two? Because that's dumb. Just plain old stupid. Just like your face when you make that damn ass comment. Don't compare him to anybody else. And even then, LeBron James, in any of his winning years, any of his long playoff runs, and any of his championship runs, he's always been going to the gun with another top 10 player on his roster. And majority of it, and every championship run, he's had a top 5 player on his roster with him. So miss me with all that bullshit crap. Actually, except for 2016, because Kyrie Irving, I think, was top 10 that year, not top 5. But you see my point. We've got guys who battle it out and his starting lineup, two of the guys. You got Steph Curry here, who's always in a starting lineup where two guys can't even score more than 5 points a game. You tell me what to do with that. And then you've got a third guy who's inconsistent. One day he's hot, one day he's not hot. You don't know when he could be shooting lights out. We don't know that. And then you got Andrew Wiggins, who fell off. That was your starting lineup for the start of the season. Don't even mention the part where Draymond just maybe played 18 of the 46 games so far. Right? Don't even mention that part. Yeah, I want to talk about why Steph shouldn't be the star, why he was struggling a little bit. Please. Who wouldn't in these circumstances? Now we have something to do about it. We see how this team can be. We've got a good bench. I think we have a good bench coming in after the start. I think we just need to get quality and consistent players. By the way, I am very critical about Klay Thompson. He hasn't played to his part. And by the way, for majority of Klay's career, I know I'm going to get a lot of hate and flack for this. For majority of Klay's career, he's never really been that performer in the playoffs. Like, yes, he'll have the game six Klay. Yes, those are legendary. Okay. We've had, big times where he came clutch for us. Klay's always been clutch. He came up big for us at times. But in terms of just a whole series, he's never been that guy who's always been consistent in every series and every playoff, even in their prime. And that's me saying that. I don't expect to go into the playoff series and expect to get more than three good games out of Klay per series. And that's saying a lot. That's actually really sad. And then you got Draymond Green. I don't expect him to keep his composure for long. And so now you're asking Steph Curry to just go battle the hyenas by himself. No, he just like every superstar, he needs help. And unlike every superstar, he's probably the greatest guy under 6'5" in the history of the game. And so now you have to wonder, like, Jokic can go battle. He's a 7-footer. Maybe he can battle and he just shoot over them. KD, same thing. LeBron, power, muscle. Giannis, same thing. You got a 6'3" guy here. We're talking about a 6'3" guard, guys. 6'3". What kind of expectations do you have for him? It's actually nuts. And yes, he's top five all time in the game. And you have a problem with that argument, start with somebody else. Because how could he not be? Because look what he has to battle with to be in a championship roster. And even when he does, the goalpost keeps getting moved up. All we're asking is get this guy consistent second guy, consistent player, getting somebody important, somebody who can even shoot lights out in the starting lineup. Get him somebody like a Lauri. We're not even asking. It's not like I'm telling you to go out there and get him a Giannis. I'm not saying you go get him an AD. I'm just telling you to get him a Lauri. Get him OG. Get him Pascal. So easy. Like, what the heck? Like, this is so annoying. And it's actually very annoying because people act like we're asking too much. We're not. We're asking for basics. Trade deadline is coming up. And if you think just because we went on a couple of two-game win streak, possibly three tomorrow, depending on if it be Atlanta, which I hope we do, doesn't mean you can just stay there and just rely on buyouts like every year. No, I need you to be active. And people are like, well, what could we get with the roster we have? Here's the people that are untouchable. You can't trade Klay. You can't trade Dre. You can't trade Steph. And you can't trade Kuminga. Everybody else, you go get somebody. Go get somebody out there with it. And certain players, you don't just give up for nothing. Like Pods, Moody, they're not untradeable. However, if you can get a good piece and package them up with a draft pick, you do that. You go ahead and do that. It doesn't take much. The 2022 team didn't take much. All we did is sign a quality guy like Otto Porter. We put a little mix and dazzle. We didn't do much. We didn't do too much. So go out there and grab a guy in the trade whatever you can. Matter of fact, we don't care about draft picks. So trade a couple of second round pick, maybe a late first round pick. We don't care. Go get somebody steady in that lineup. One or two. Go get a center. Claxton, go do whatever you gotta do with the Nets. Go hug them, give them a lollipop, tell them they're the best team in New York, and get Claxton. And you got yourself a deal. Get a center, somebody consistent. And in this team, it doesn't take much. You can be a championship team. And to me, I don't even have goals for the rest of the season. All that depends on is what we do after the trade deadline. After the trade deadline, I'm gonna come on here and I'm gonna let y'all know, yeah, if it's over, if it's not, because there's no in between. And Steph Curry, I mean this one with everything. You are the star player of this team. You're the best player on this team. And your niceness has really been the biggest default of your career. That's the craziest part, the biggest deficit of your career. And being nice, contrary to popular beliefs, is not a good trait. Being kind is. You wanna shoot to be kind. But being nice, no. That's a terrible trait. You need to go up in there and start demanding things. You need to go up there and just, ruffle some feathers, piss somebody off, and be something. Because this is you. This is your career. This is your legacy. I mean, your legacy is solidified and everything. But if you're not interested in winning out the rest of your career, then fine. Settle down, chill, go hit us our 30-point games, shooting records. We'll be impressed. I'll be satisfied. Don't care. But if you're really interested in winning and taking this to the next level and stop letting these young guys get away with whatever they want, you have to go to management and say, yeah, this is not going to cut it. And it starts with you breaking up with Steve Kerr. But we can wait till the offseason for that one. That's it for Nana. And in the database with Nana, I appreciate you all for coming. I know it's been a long time, but we got a whole lot of season left and a whole lot of run in us. Hopefully, Golden State understand that. And by the time I talk to you guys, we got a whole new team and a whole new amount of players to analyze. Signing out.